Say no. No. That's because it's not in there. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made to salvation. Is baptism in there? No. Romans 10, 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is baptism there? No. And we could keep going. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 and so many other places. So you've got to back up and you say, okay, let's go back to this word for. How should it have been translated? It should have been translated because of. Now, and when you translate this entire phrase, it becomes more clear. It literally reads, let each of you allow himself to be baptized because of the forgiveness of sins. Why are you baptized? Because I'm forgiven. I've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm being baptized because of what's happened, and I want the world to know. You see how it makes sense? You can't be very cautious before you establish your theology on one or even half a verse, right? If it is not in harmony with the rest of the Bible, it requires more digging. And you'll discover that's the case here. You see, baptism is simply, I want the world to know who I belong to. And on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 people wanted to declare, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism is about. Now, you think 3,000 is a lot. And I've always wondered what that baptism service looked like. I don't know. I'd like to be a part of something like that. You say, Brother Doug, you couldn't because you're back. Well, I've got church staff. And I'd stand and joy and be joyful watching them do it, right? But wouldn't it be great? But if you'll remember when we started in the first part of chapter 2, there were about 100,000 people who flooded into Jerusalem. And when you take the total number of people that would have been there at that time and you look at, well, 3,000 out of 100,000, that's not that many. You see, when you put salvation on the level that it truly belongs, where you make Jesus the Lord of your life, when there is a repentance, a turning from sin, a turning from self, and turning to Jesus and Jesus alone, when you understand what baptism is, it is that public declaration that you want the world to know, I belong to Jesus. You see, there's going to be a limited response to that. Oh, there are churches today, mega churches that, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm basing what I'm saying on what I've seen and heard firsthand. You know, churches don't want to preach about repentance anymore. Don't want to preach about hell anymore. Don't want to preach about those things that are difficult anymore because it's not attractive to people. But I'll present to you, listen, if you don't preach the truth, you have done everyone a great disservice. We go on. What happened? You're saved. You're baptized. It says in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly. They continued. And understand this. Salvation is not the end. Okay, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'll just live my life. No, salvation is the beginning. It's the beginning of walking and growing in Jesus and following Jesus. It's that point where Jesus has just become the driving factor of your life. And so there needs to be a dedication. Continual, steadfast dedication. That's what it means. It's to devote oneself. That Jesus becomes the focus of my life. What were they focused on? They were focused on the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine is very simply, it means to teach. These guys had a hunger to learn, a desire to grow in their knowledge of the Lord. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes we're to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Do you have that passion? Do you have that desire? I look at what we desire today, and I see the emphasis we place on secular education. People pay thousands of dollars to go to college and trade schools and such. And I thought, you know, do we have that kind of passion for the Word of God? Do we want to grow? Do we want to know the Word? Do we have a sincere desire to get into the Word? And if we do not, my friends, something's missing, right? You say, Brother Doug, how do I develop that passion? You get into the Word. You open the Word. You go to Bible study classes. Let me ask you. If we were, let's say, in the public school program, and we were as faithful, or we had our children be as faithful in the public school or in the public school program as we are in the church Sunday school ministry, how would our children do? Well, most of them, just be honest with you, most of the children would have their parents arrested for not making their kids come to school. How much more important is equipping our children today in the Word of God? Listen, there are battles out there to be fought. You have to understand, we're fighting an enemy that does not fight fair. One of my it's not my favorite, but a repeated word is, you ever hear people say, that's not fair? Satan don't fight fair. He fights with disappointment, discouragement, temptation. He fights with immorality. He'll do anything he can do to draw you away from Jesus. Listen, you got to be ready. And the only way to be ready against the power of Satan is to be equipped. That's why we're told to put on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. These folks, they were hungry. They were dedicated to the apostles' doctrine. They were dedicated to fellowship. That word fellowship, in verse 42, it means an intimate association. That's what church family is supposed to be. I mean, we're supposed to be close. You know? We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to have a desire to be together. And the reason is, that's our defining characteristic for the world to see. John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said, by this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what the world sees. And they're watching the church. Are they seeing the church love one another? Is the question. Right? That's what it's supposed to be. How do you grow in this love? Again, faithfulness to the church family. You come to church for one thing. Second thing, you come to Bible study. I love Bible studies. I'm gonna tell you, we have Bible study for every age on Wednesday night. Every age, from nursery to however old, right? We have Wednesday night Bible study in here. I love Wednesday night Bible study. And the reason is because it's very informal and we get to interact and I hear the input of other people. And guess what? I learn things on Wednesday nights that I didn't know before. You see, it's a blessing for me. And folks, if you will be faithful, bring your kids to Awana. Come to the adult Bible study. I promise you, you will be blessed too. They were dedicated to the fellowship, developing an intimacy among one another. They were faithful in breaking of bread. See, here's where it gets real, real close, right? That intimacy. And he's talking about observing the Lord's Supper here in this first part. And you have to understand what the Lord's Supper is. I'm not going to go to great depths, and we're not going to talk about it in depth today, but understand what the Lord's Supper does. We're all very different. We have different likes, dislikes. We have different needs. We have different priorities. You know, we're just very different. But you know the one thing that brings us together is the blood of Jesus Christ that has purified us from our sin. That's what we celebrate. That's what we observe on the night of the Lord's Supper. You see, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, red, yellow, black or white. It doesn't matter if you're big or little, old or young. When you come together in that environment of the Lord's Supper, you stop and you realize that we're all in the same boat. We're sinners saved by grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is what pulls the church together. Then, they were steadfast in prayer. Listen, they had a prayer life. They had a prayer life. You know, I didn't realize it, but Brother Ken mentioned Wednesday night that there had been 20 additions in the last month. I just get excited because the Lord's building the church. You know, I lost count, but I think that's wonderful. But I'm very convinced as to why. It's not the preacher. It's not Brother Dale and the music. It's God building His church. Right? It's God building His church. And the reason He's building that church is because God's people are praying. We have prayer service going on every Sunday morning during worship time. Did you know that you're being prayed for every Sunday morning? I think that's awesome. I think that's very needful. But it doesn't stop there. You got to have a prayer life outside of when you come here. Let me ask you, do you have prayer partners? I can't encourage enough to have prayer partners because there's a certain amount of accountability. When you know you're meeting with somebody to pray with them, it's going to better your prayer life. And number two, it's going to help you care about that individual that you're meeting with. Listen, we've got to have a consistent prayer life. And then finally, I love this part. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. There was joy in the church. See, the spirit of the church was gladness. That word gladness, it's great joy, it's exultation. There was an attitude of just overwhelming joy in that church. And you got to stop and you got to ask yourself why. Okay? Did you know, and I hadn't mentioned it up to now, but I'm going to now. All these folks, when they believed, become believers, they sold everything they had and just put one big old, bank account, for lack of a better word. And when people had needs, they would take care of those needs. Now, am I suggesting that you sell everything, let's throw it into one big pot? No. No, I'm not. But here's what I saw. Here's what we see. When they got rid of that I'm rich, I'm poor, I'm in need mentality, they all focused upon Jesus. And there was a great joy in the church. What am I suggesting for you and me? Well, we've got to get back to what's important. And what's important is Jesus, okay? Not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the cares of the world and the demands of the world. Those cares and those demands will always be there. But we just need to back up and be able to say, oh, praise God, it's good to be a child of God. That's where our joy is. Let me tell you something. And I'm not bragging, I'm counting my blessings. For my grandchildren to be sitting with me this morning, all I could do was say, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm blessed. Has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with the lack of money or all the demands of the world. It has to do with the blessings of the Lord. You see, when you get your mind off of off of the cares and the demands of the world, you realize, man, it's good to be a child of God. God is good. That was the spirit of the church. And then finally, we see the growth of the church. It says the Lord added to the church daily. I love that phrase. Because I'm reminded, it was the Lord that built that church. As He said to Peter in Matthew 16, 18, that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Lord added to His church 3,000 souls. And it wasn't because the preacher or because they sung the right music. It was because God was adding. Here's what we have to understand about God building His church. We are God's building. Okay? It's what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:9. We're God's building. We are the building material that God uses to build His church. Now, I'm not a builder, but I have made an attempt to build things before. And I've went to the lumber yards, and I've noticed in the lumber yards when you go, you better check the stuff you're buying. If you're buying two-by-fours, you better hold that two-by-four up and look, because a lot of the two-by-fours you get will go like this. If you, and the same way, it's with all building material. And when I see that two-by-four, I'll throw it to the side. I'm not going to build with that. Everything will be out of square, and it'll just be a shabby building. Well, you look at yourself, look at me, one another. We're God's two-by-fours. God's looking to use quality building material to build His church, not junk. Right? And for God to build His church, we've got to be right. We've got to be usable. And it's amazing what God can do when we get right. Now, this is the point that you say, yeah, you know, I wish those folks over there, they got some work they need to do. No, this is a time for individual evaluation. Right? How am I in the building material to be used by God? Am I straight? Number one, am I saved? Number two, if I followed the Lord in baptism. Number three, do I fellowship with my church? Is church important to me? Do I love the brethren? And you know, you go down that list and you realize, whoops, you know, I'm not faithful here. I'm lacking there. You know the answer to that, right? Fix it. Fix it. Or let God fix it. You see, I'm reminded today, I don't care who we are. None of us are there yet. And I'm talking from the pulpit to the pew. We all have opportunity and room to grow. Challenge this morning is don't be satisfied where you are. You know? Don't be satisfied with your current level of knowledge. Don't be satisfied with your current level of faithfulness. Always strive for more. What's next for you? What do you need to do to be more faithful? You may be here today and you've never taken that first step. Oh, you know, you come to church, but you've never repented and turned to Jesus. You may be here today and you've never been baptized. You've never went public. You need to take that care of that. You may be here today and you've just kind of fallen by the wayside. They call it backsliding, you know, from where I've been. It's time to get back. Time to get back. I would encourage you in this invitation to please, please let Jesus lead you and do as Jesus leads. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word. And we thank You for this pattern of the church. Lord, how that they did turn from religion to You. How that they did go public by following in baptism. How that they valued their church. And they loved the brethren. How that they got all that right. And then, Lord, You began to build a church. Father, I pray that You would help us at Victory to be good building material. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves as well as You. And look at our faithfulness. Look at where we are. And Father, help us to never be satisfied and complacent, but rather always be pressing for more in knowledge of You and service to You.